Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
If you've been tracking with us the whole month of March, we've been journeying through a series of messages on the kingdom of God, beginning with one entitled First Things First. The idea behind this first message was this was the first message Jesus preached about the kingdom of God. Second, we came up with a second message entitled Flipside. Gives us an idea of the upside-down kingdom of God where Jesus mentions the word blessed 9 times, the quality of life inside the kingdom of God and the way to get blessed. Last week, we talked about fight or flight, a message about what the people of the kingdom of God look like, salt and light. Today, we continue on the vein of these messages, beginning in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, where it says, "Do not think I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." Notice the words, "Do not think I've come to abolish the law." Every kingdom, whatever kingdom that may be, has laws. For instance, in Singapore, laws have particular laws that are designed to protect the values of the people who live in these nations. There's an interesting law in Singapore where you cannot eat chewing gum or bubble gum. In fact, it's against the law. And the reason why is because the people here value a certain thing, and that's why these laws represent the values of the kingdom and the results of the kingdom. For instance, when you go to your regular metro or MRTs in various parts of the world, they look like this. This is what it looks like in Singapore. Laws have a reason for being there. They're there so that the people will understand what people value, and the results of those values come because of the practices of those laws. Interesting, Jesus said, "I didn't come to abolish them. I've actually come to fulfill them." I've entitled this message, "Fully Satisfied in 2021. I'm actually rather excited to preach this message to you because of the four messages I'm going to preach about the kingdom of God. This is the one that is most interesting to me. Notice where it says in verse 18, "For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of the pen." Notice where it says, "For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear." It talks about the reality of this is the most extreme. The laws of God are the most extreme, and Jesus said, "I did not come to abolish them." Sometimes I wonder where to get the idea that Jesus came to abolish the law or reduce it. He actually says it is more legal. He continues by saying, "Not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished." This is pretty strict. The law, he says, is nothing has changed. In fact, he expects compliance, and finally, it applies to everyone. He continues on in verse 19, "Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of these least of these commandments and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven." This is pretty harsh. He said, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. If you're wondering what Jesus is saying, he said, this is most extreme. This is more legal than you realize. In fact, it is more demanding. Sometimes we think the grace of God is about removing the law. It isn't. Laws are set to set the standard. The higher we understand laws and how high these laws are, the greater we understand and appreciate the grace of God. But for certain, Jesus did not come to abolish the law. In verse 19 in the second half, he says, "But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Interesting. Further, he goes on in verse 20, "For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and of the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." Where we get the idea that Jesus is watering down things when he came down is really not what he's saying. You will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. It's rather impossible. First point I want to make is when Jesus came, these laws have become most extreme, more legal, more demanding, more severe, if you may. Second part is that he talks about why the reason for this is because it's most effective. The reason why is because Jesus came not for the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law. He goes on to say in verse 21, "You've heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. This is the letter of the law. But he goes on to say, but I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Anyone who says to a brother or sister, Raca, is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, you fool, basically that's what Raca means, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Pretty strict there. Now he says, there's the spirit of the law. Therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar and trying to be religious and remember to your brother and sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them, then come after and offer your gift. There's a difference between what is illegal, what is legalistic, which is just to comply with the letter of the law, and what is legal, which is to do it because you understand the spirit of the law. The law, the Bible tells us, is about a nanny, a guardian, a teacher. The guardian, the law like a guardian, is the letter of the law, which all can teach and guide us at some level, can protect and provide for us, and can even inspire us. But it cannot transform us, and that's what Jesus was trying to tell us. More effective because it's not the letter, but the spirit of the law. He goes on further and says, not about the practice, but the heart. When you have the spirit of the law inside of you, you will have the heart of the law. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at the woman lustfully has already committed adultery in her heart, in his heart rather. Notice what it says, which this is even more strict. When you commit adultery, that's a sin against God, against the law. But he says, now even if you just think lustfully or look lustfully at the woman, you've already committed adultery in your heart. Jesus was more concerned not with the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law, not the practice of the law, but the law in people's hearts. There are people who hate the law. As such, they don't practice the law. There are people who keep the letter of the law and practice the law, but Jesus wants us to have the spirit of the law. As such, we have the law in our hearts. Most of us probably don't hate the law or don't practice the law. We are people who practice the law. But Jesus wants something greater, that the law is in our hearts. As I pondered the practice and the law in my heart, I could only think of my own marriage, which, by the way, I'm celebrating my 39th anniversary. And I remember when I first got married, I would date my wife on a regular weekly basis. It was almost like a badge of honor, a check mark. I just did that. And that's why it worked for a while. But I understand that there were three top marriage strategies that I employed. The first one was bite your tongue and count to 100. It works. But that was the letter of the law, the practice. Next practice was die to yourself. But it was until I understand the spirit of the law, and I call it the enigma. The enigma is a term that we use when we say a person or thing that is mysterious or difficult to understand. And most of the time, that's what I answer my wife to be. She's an enigma, a person or thing mysterious or difficult to understand. But I focused on the difficult rather than on the mysterious. When I understood that the mystery was there for life, that it was my duty to receive that enigma and to discover the mystery, it became fun. Because the law did not become a practice anymore, but in my heart, I desired to know this woman for the rest of my life. Whether it was difficult or not was irrelevant. The spirit of the law is when we understand why God gave us that wife in the first place. And the way you love her is when she keeps becoming mysterious to you. The spirit of the law can be applied in various areas because the law becomes in our hearts. We can apply it spiritually, relationally, we can apply it physically, and obviously we can apply it financially. For instance, you can go to church and attend the church in the law or the practice, the letter of the law versus the spirit of the law, which is to worship God regardless of whether you're in a physical building or not. You can watch a child apply the letter of the law and the practice of, okay, hug your sister, but deep down inside he wants or she wants to bully him because that's the practice versus the spirit. The spirit is to love and to sacrifice for one another. We could be dieting and practicing and eating the right stuff or even doing the right things to our bodies. That is the practice. The spirit of the law is to honor God with our bodies. to take care of it because we love God and we desire to honor God with our lives. The practice of the law could be saving money or even tithing. The spirit of the law is to honor God with all our wealth. Hence, the difference in the way Jesus taught. Most extreme, more legal, more demanding, more severe. Why? Because it's more effective when you operate in the spirit of the law and not the letter of it, the part and not the practice. Which brings us to the third part of this most effective. Not the rules, but the relationship. He goes on in Matthew 5:43, you've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. Relationship was ultimately the difference in the kingdom of God. The fact that you would know that you are not just part of a kingdom, but your Father is the king. This picture is of Tom Brady. You may not know who he is, but he's considered one of the greatest football players in America. Probably, some would question, but considered not the greatest football player, but certainly the greatest quarterback of all time. What's interesting about this man, Tom Brady, is that while he's considered one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, he's also considered the biggest steal in NFL draft history. Because he was never seen to be the guy who would make it. Nobody ever thought that he would become who he became. The secret was really a relationship with this man, his father. I want to read you a note that Tom Brady wrote his father on Father's Day. He said, Happy Father's Day, Pops. I'm so grateful to have you always by my side. From as early as I can remember, there was never a moment where you did not have time for me. Dreams really do come true. But when I think of someone who will give me anything in the world to make my dreams come true, it always comes back to you. I pray that we may have more years together on and off the golf course, and I will try my best to emulate you as a parent with three kids of my own. I want to read back some of these words. But when I think of someone who will give me anything in the world to make my dreams come true, it always comes back to you. It's a relationship, isn't it? Our children are not born great. They become great. We become great when someone tells us, I believe in you. I love you. I'm willing to do anything for you. And that's what makes us great. Jesus came to make us fulfill the law, not by trying harder, but by being told, I love you. And you are the child of the king, and you can do this. I pray that I may have more years to get. That's the prayer. That's the spirit of the law. I pray I want to be around you. I want to be with you. In fact, I just don't want to be around you. I just don't want to be with you. I want to be like you. Now, for sure, not all of us have a father like Tom Brady. But it's one thing to have someone believe in you. It's a totally different thing to have someone who is willing to do anything for you. And that's what our Father in heaven did. He sent us his only son, Jesus, so that you and I may fulfill the law, and that law may be something that will be a high standard, yes, but something that will be fulfilled in our lives. Something that is not just a letter, something that's not just a practice, something that's not just a rule, but something that is about a relationship, which makes it most extreme, most effective, but also most satisfying. And that's why I've titled this message, Fully Satisfied, not just in 2021, but for all the rest of our lives. In Romans chapter 8, verse 3, it says, For God achieved, there it is, fulfilled, satisfied, what the law was unable to accomplish, because the law was limited by the weakness of human nature. He says he achieved it and fulfilled it and satisfied the tenets of the law, allowing us, yet God, how? God sent us his son in human form to identify with human weakness, clothed with humanity. God sent us Jesus to show us that in the midst of our weakness, God has satisfied the law. And as a result, God's son gave his body to be a sin offering so that God could once and for all condemn the guilt and the power of sin. There you go. Never to be insecure again, never to be in the, I like the fact that Jesus did not demolish the law. I like the fact that he did not reduce the law because it's my point of security to know and never doubt again because my debts have been paid legally. When we understand why it's most satisfying, it's only because it's powerful. Further in Romans chapter 8, verse 4, it says, "So now every righteous requirement of the law can be satisfied and fulfilled through the anointed one living in us." That is a powerful thought. The idea that the requirement of the law has been satisfied because Jesus did not just pay the price, but decided that very King, that very Spirit of God lives inside of you and me. And we are free to live not according to the flesh or the limits of the law, but by the dynamic power of the Holy Spirit. That is amazing. We can do this because God Himself lives inside of us. The kingdom of God is near. It is most satisfying because it's powerful. Most of all, it is accessible. Further, it says in Luke 17, verse 20, Jesus, when once asked by the Jewish religious leaders, "When will God's kingdom come?" They're wondering about this, and Jesus responded, "God's kingdom does not simply come simply by obeying principles or waiting for signs. That's not what God's kingdom is. The kingdom is not discovered in one place or another, for God's kingdom realm is already expanding within some of you. In other words, the kingdom of God is in you. It is accessible. You don't have to wait for it. You don't have to just work for it. You don't have to perform for it. It is inside of you. It is most satisfying because it's powerful. It is most satisfying because it's accessible. You have access to it morning, noon, and nighttime. You have access to it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days in a year. And finally, it's perfect. When I thought about this last point, I couldn't help but think about golf. I don't play golf. Ironically, I used to live beside the golf course. If I jumped out my window, I'd be the golf course. And my father was an avid golf player. And that's probably why I think of it this way, because I never measured up to the standard of playing golf. I tried, went out there. It never worked. It never stuck. But the reason why I think of golf as the perfect mnemonic and example for the kingdom of God is because of this picture right here. The kingdom of God is near. In short, every day, I just have to putt it in. I can do all things in Jesus. I have a God who is my Father, and thus I will have no other gods before me. I have a God I worship, and thus I will not have other idols. I have a God I praise, and thus I will not take His name in vain. I love resting in His presence, and that's why I do not have to have a Sabbath, because I rest in His presence every moment of the day. This is the kingdom of God. I have a God, and it's a joy and a privilege to honor my parents because I have a God who gave me these parents. When I understand the spirit of the law, the reality of the kingdom of God that is present, and that this is a putt, a simple putt I can do every day, not because of me, but because Jesus came not to abolish this law, but to allow me to actually exceed this law because of what He's done for me. I love people, that's why I don't murder. I love my wife, that's why I don't commit adultery. I have everything I need, that's why I don't steal. I'm secure in who I am, that's why I don't have to put people down or be a false witness to them. I'm made unique and special, and that's why I don't have to covet anyone else's destiny or materials or things that they have. What's interesting is, even though all of this is true, it's possible I won't make it tomorrow. But that's the good news. There's another day. And that brand new day allows me another putt. This is why I believe in the kingdom of God. It's most extreme, yes. It's more legal, yes. It's more demanding, more severe. But it's about the spirit of the law, not the letter of the law. It's about the heart and not the practices, because it's about a relationship with God and not the rules. As a result, it's most satisfying, it's powerful, it's accessible, it's perfect. As we end this moment of meditating on the Word of God, I want us to proclaim Jesus, our God and Savior. Take a piece of bread and a cup as we pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, thank You for coming to fulfill the law and setting a high standard for our lives. Thank You for fully satisfying the righteous requirements of Your laws that has given us access into your kingdom. More importantly, thank you for putting your law into our hearts so that we may freely live the life that you intended for us. We proclaim it is not the letter, the practice, or rules of the law that matter, but our relationship with you that has given us the power, the access, and the perfection in life. In your name, Jesus, we pray. And everyone said, Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.